in this slave service message. I praise you for Allah, Lord, cherish and sustain of all the world. Dear beloved Muslims, guests, people, assalamu alaikum.
As we
say, to those of you who are visiting Dallas, Ahlan wa sahlan, you are most welcome in the most special way. And we say this welcome, it means that this house is your house. This city is your city. And
yes,
these should be people
yes.
who welcome each other warmly and greet each other with enthusiasm. There's nothing for us to be sad about today. Even when we're fighting evil and indecency in society, we're happy doing that. We're sad over the conditions, maybe. But we're happy to participate in rectifying those conditions with the enthusiasm and the light of the Holy Quran. Dear beloved Muslims, guests and people, this historic occasion here in Dallas, Texas, is one of the biggest things that you and I can witness in 1982. In fact, Imam Mahdi Muhammad, the leader of the American Muslim Mission, mentioned, he said, I believe 1982, we're going to be able to drop a lot of dead weight. Not only those things that are blocking us individually, but those things that are blocking us collectively, those things that are disturbing the atmosphere of the community, that dead weight in the way of a vibrant, moving community, bringing home the message of the Holy Quran. Dear beloved people, this event that we see today bears witness to what? Strong and dynamic leadership. Leadership that whose own faith has to be tested. Our leader, Imam Mahdi Muhammad, if we look at his role and look at his responsibility, he was a man just like any one of us, ordinary but also extraordinary. And he was a person who had to challenge his faith. This crane marked today symbolizes the challenge of that faith. Many of us here were idol worshipers ourselves. Many of us here had the idea of Elijah Muhammad as a god. And we had to challenge that belief. And some of us are still challenging that belief. And with this movement is not only for the removal of the Caucasian image of Jesus Christ, portraying as God, but also for all images that attempt to portray divine. Those images that attempt to control our lives and not allow us to serve God fully. In this community, we can see the progress that the American Muslim Mission has made. And this great convention is just another bold step, a dynamic step made by leadership that accepts the Father Holy Quran and believes firmly in God, though you may be criticized by everybody. In 1975, as you know, there were many changes made to try to rectify and make a better image of this community that is called the American Muslim Mission, that was once called the Nation of Islam, that was once called the World Community of Islam in the West. And people say, oh, another change. Don't you know that changing is good? The press itself said, oh, you're making sweeping changes. It won't last. But the only thing that was swept out was the dust. The good furniture remained. The good people remained to support a good cause. And when we look at this community now and see how it is beginning to blossom and to unfold into what Allah has promised to every community that stands up and says, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad al-Rasulullah, you will see progress in this community. People have charged the community with going out of business. Don't you know we're in business more today than yesterday? Or they are saying, oh, the educational system is no good. Don't you know we're better educated today than we were yesterday? We have to look and reflect and think on what we have accomplished. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Zikr Allahu Akbar, Speaking on God is the greatest thing. And don't you know that this word pickup also means remembering God? But don't you also realize that this is a society that is suffering from amnesia? Mankind is suffering from amnesia today. And his amnesia has allowed him to forget his Lord. And we need in our society conscious men. Men that are not afraid. Men that are that can't be borrowed. Men that can't be influenced by the sexy atmosphere that is promoted in the society. Men who are qualified, who love God in their heart, and regardless of the criticism from family, regardless of the criticism from friends, regardless of the criticism from the society, and all of the dismal clouds that they put before us, still shine forth. Now, we don't want to just say a lot of nice words, but let us examine our accomplishments in this community. Imam Rahim Muhammad, the leader of this community, look where he has moved us to in just 8 years. Moved us to a community that now has a democratic society or democratic influence where we're not restricted in our own mind and restricted in our own way from going out and developing the good religious life. This convention today speaks to that. The preachers that we heard earlier speak to that. When we go out into this society, to the Christian community, to the Jewish community, are we trying to just destroy Christianity? No. What we're trying to do, and what we are doing, is enlightening them in their own religious life, and then they will soon see that our Islam is the way. Allah says in the Quran, La ikrah fid din. Let there be no compulsion. Let there be no force in the religious life. We can't force a wife to be Muslim. We can't force a child to be Muslim. We can't force a nephew, an auntie. We can't force a society to be Muslim. But what we can do is stand up for truth. Stand up and support the truth of leadership, and people will begin to come to this religion of Islam. All praise be to Allah. Maybe not Muslim. Brother Muhammad, peace be upon him, said that the best of you is he who is most useful to his society. He also said that the best of you is he who has best and excellent morals. That our society can't be the best society unless our morals are better. Our moral life is stronger. And when we see the work in this community, Imam Rahim Muhammad worked on our morals. He worked on our life by teaching the Quran to work out our life and our moral mind to bring us to a firm foundation. And he has also shown that as our moral life is strong, that we also have to have a piece of this material life. And the material life is not just dollar bills. But the material life is a community of your own. Again, the Quran says, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Don't forget your share. There we go again. Man has got amnesia. He forgot his share even in the material life. So what have we done? What have we accomplished? There in Southampton, North Carolina, what is this program designed to do? The program in Sedalia, North Carolina, is designed to speak to the education that a community needs. The whole community needs to be educated. Not just Imam. Many people would work on the Imam. They all only the Imam needs to teach it. Every Muslim, Father Muhammad said, it's incumbent upon every male believer and female believer to be educated. Isn't that right? To have knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of the religion. Knowledge of the way of life. Knowledge of how to stand up in a society and show that you too are a human being. Show that you too can respond to the needs of a human society. We don't have to sit quietly by and say, look at the world going away. We can participate in the political system. We can participate in the economic system. We can participate in the educational system. We can participate in the collective buying system. This collective buying of 100,000 that is a tangible program. A program that speaks to our material needs. Do you know that if we can support the collective buying idea, feel 1,000%, not 100%, 1,000%. You won't have to sell toothpicks anymore. Yeah, you don't have to sell goofy caps anymore. We can begin to speak to the dignity of this community more by showing that we are a community that's ready to empathize in this society and in this world. But what's bringing our attention to this? Leadership. Strong leadership. And Amen. What Oliver Mahana said recently, he said that we are people that are not ready for strong leadership. We are people that need to be working to support strong leadership. You don't want weak leaders. You want strong leaders. You don't want weak leaders that's going to let you get by with this and get by with that. And what is our strength, the Quran? What is our life, the Quran? Oh, but Amen. We ready to get a cheat. You're taking too long. I'm following leadership. Brother came to me earlier and said, Imam, is this same thing going to happen? That the Imam is going to be left out of the program? Look, if the Imam wasn't able to make it today, don't you know this isn't program? We have to come alive. You here is part of the program. What you stood up today for and marched in that hot sun and the fiery heat of Dallas, Texas, that is the program.
That's true.
The newspaper at CNN asked me, is this a form of jihad? I said, yes. Jihad is struggle. Jihad is determination. Jihad is that light in the human being that seeks to unfold those oppressive dark things in his life and come to the worship of God. All praise is due to Allah. Dear men, our Muslims, yes, dear, we are asking all of us who are conscientious believers, who want to see a healthy society, a society that is vibrant, a society that is ready to take the lead and the responsibility of correcting the ills of America, then we're going to have to support education. We're going to have to support Sister Claire Muhammad School. Don't say, oh, everything is going bad. Things have gone good. It is you and me who go bad. Don't you know that these things that Imam Wahid Muhammad has brought for us and brought the freedom of heart and mind to participate in the educational system and the school system and participate in politics and these things, it makes you a stronger man.
That's right.
It makes you a stronger woman. Never before have you felt like this. I know I have. Never before have my family life been better. I know yours has. Why? Because I'm not running around thinking I'm a black God. That was removed. And Imam, we say, oh, praise started in 1977. Don't you know that Imam Wahid Muhammad started praying as soon as he came in office? Removing the image of Dr. Brown from our heart. It was a slow, painful method, but now look at the vibrant life of this community. Allahu Akbar. Dear beloved Muslims, dear beloved Christians, Jews, everybody that is here, we have a responsibility to support leadership that reflects the dignity that God wants for the human being.
Right.
We have that responsibility. And if you hold back and pull back and seek to push yourself forward, you're going to fail. These lights at home, look what they're doing. They're making me hot. They're making me sweat. We don't need limelight. We need divine light. We need light that will open up the heart. Light that will take out the jealousy. Light that will take out the envy. Light that will take out the cowardness and the spineless backbone for us to stand up and give the support to something that comes from our own loins. We're not asking Sheikh Rama Hua here today. He can come and participate in the program, but we cannot have a Nigerian head on this body. We can't have an Arab head on this body. It is not logical. Even people who get heart transplants and liver transplants, they have a time period to see if the heart and the liver are going to jump.
Right.
What do you think about a head transplant?
Come on,
that's true.
Go ahead.
That's got to be right.
You know what we need. Imam Wahid Muhammad has said, we need a model city. He said once we arrived, he said, don't you know if we can set up
a model city that reflects the dignity of Muslim life. Don't you know that the attention of the world will be drawn to that city, and this movement will really speed up. We have to work toward that. I'm ready, buddy, ma'am. I'm ready to move when you're ready to move. How can we be ready to move if we're not moving now? What do I mean by that? 100% support. Stop being stingy. Stop being niggly. Stop holding back. Give what you have to this cause. Allahu Akbar. Recently, with the help of all of us, we just paid off our farmland, 4,000 acres. Do you know what 4,000 acres is? Well, if you can't, let me give you a picture. When you go out and look at 4,000 acres, you see the land, the sky, and your eye all meet. The land, the sky, and your eye all meet at one point, and then some beyond. That's yours. That's ours. This is speaking to the deal. We're not in debt with the farm anymore. And yet, we have no problems that are in the community, but don't you know that dead weight is leaving? Our praise is to Allah.
We
thank God for strong leadership, and those of us who have strong, firm faith in our heart and mind. Let's give Imam Wahabuddin Muhammad 1,000% support. Not with your lips, only in your deeds, in your actions, with your wife, with your husband. Straighten up your morals with the children. Live a Muslim life. Keep up prayer. Encourage the family life to be strong. And let us not be broken up by all these deviant minds that seek to come and penetrate the wholesome atmosphere of a Muslim community.
Right.
Let us not seek to allow into our broader society those things that seek to divide us against Christian and Jews. The preachers that were here today, they're friends of ours. Not mine, ours.
Right.
I made friends with them for the American Muslim Mission. And we have preachers in this whole city that are friends of this community and will defend your religion even when you're not around.
Wow.
When they begin to talk, they say, no, not the Muslims, you're mistaken.
Right.
They change. That man, Warren, is doing an excellent job.
All right.
If we promote this, you will see a healthier society, a stronger, determined community, and we will see ourselves not burdened with the pettiness of the world, but only burdened with those things that we need. And Allah says, what? I have not put a burden on you that you can't bear. Why? Because it's like the woman. The woman, a seed is admitted into the woman, and the woman begins to take on the burden of their seed. But Allah, why say I? Allah expands and widens the womb so that she's able to carry the life of that seed. And it may be a little heavy on her, but understand this, she's going to enjoy that child when it comes. Things may be a little heavy on us now, but believe me, we're going to enjoy the life when it's birthed forth. By following this leadership of Imam Wahabuddin Muhammad, assalamu alaikum.
Praise be to Allah. Muslims, people, friends, peace be unto you, as we say in our language, assalamu alaikum. Let me first make it clear to you that I requested of Imam Qasim Ahmad that he do more than just introduce me. I told him that I said, you have to remember that you are a member of the leadership, you are counsel on the council imam, and you should have more than that kind of faith on the program. You shouldn't just introduce me, you should have something to say. And I appreciate his words. The words were delivered very clearly and very forcefully. And we appreciate that very much. he is a man that is really advancing the main purpose of this community and the good of the general society. Now, I am before you to address the need for the removal of images in religion that invite the members of the religion to worship or to address those images as deities or as gods. First, let me express a belief that is in scripture, and it is a kind of general principle, but it says something that I think will help us understand our problem. And it may be a good start for this address. We read in the Bible these words: a tree is known by the fruit it bears. Regarding these images in religion, especially the crucifix, I believe that what I'm about to mention to you is a product of that tree. There is now a movement headed by a man who was once a member in the Nation of Islam, officially called in those days the Lost Found Nation of Islam in the wilderness of North America. There is a man who now heads the religious organization, our religion. In fact, he heads the religion. He has formed his own religion. And he has also formed his own Bible. His Bible is called the Black Bible. It's not a cheap effort. He spent some money to put it together and to have it printed. The pictures you will find in that Bible are mostly pictures of black people. And Satan in that Bible is pictured or depicted as a white man. The scene of Adam and Eve in the garden shows Adam and Eve black, and the serpent, representing the whisper of the devil, is a white man. This is without any question black reaction in religion to white man image in religion. If that's one of the fruits of the crucifix, then we have to acknowledge, as right-minded, sensible people, that that is a bad fruit. We hope to establish our reason for insisting upon the removal of all images in religion. And that is our first reason, that it produces reaction in the conscience of people that don't identify racially with the image, that are bad for so
society, and that represents only the furtherance of that kind of confusion and corruption. We are not attacking Christianity. We respect Christianity with sacred respect. We are not attacking Jesus, feed beyond him. We respect Jesus Christ with sacred respect. Let us continue. And now I would like to go to the positive side of the crucifix. That is to say, that it has its good influence as well. And we, as intelligent people, should be able to win its good influence or its good utility with its bad influences, if you agree with us, and its harmful utility, and make a decision as to whether it is acceptable to leave the image in society or to remove it. Another reason we have for the removal, for insisting upon the removal of all images in religion, is that the crucifix, while it's true that it does have some benefit in terms of the kind of catharsis or a kind of purging a wrong-mindedness on the part of people that it offers or that it holds, it has some benefits. When we look at a human being, our human form, pitifully nailed to a cross, and we're told that that person was a good person, that that person had no malice, no ill will, that that person was well-natured and meant well to everybody, it does draw our sympathies toward him. And when our sympathies are drawn toward a good thing, it does have the effect of awakening our good nature and our good conscience. So that's the good side of it. That's the good side of it. But in spite of it having that kind of influence to provoke the movement of stare, good sentiment, moral sentiment, compassion, etc., in the one who looks upon it, for races that cannot identify with it racially, it has a reverse effect. It has very negative effect. And not only for races that can identify with it, even for those who identify with it, simply because it's in their image, it has a reverse effect. It has a negative effect. Now, people, there is an understanding in psychology that the human conscience can be transported and detached and lose all identity with the concern that it previously belonged to. If you can transfer that particular consciousness and its concern to an image. In very early times of man's cultural growth or evolution, the psychologist or the psychiatrist and the priest was all in one person. He was the magic worker, or the witch doctor, as we call him now. He took on a bad name when the sciences were evolved. The witch doctor. And the witch doctor, he would form an image, and he would use that image to drum up emotion, sentiments and emotion, and draw those sentiments and emotions to the image until the person become almost spellbound. In fact, many of the people he was treating would fall out. They would lose consciousness, and they would fall out. Some would go into fits. But after the experience was over, most of his patients felt better because he had detached their own consciousness from the subject of that consciousness, from the owner of that consciousness. He had detached their own concern from the owner of those concerns, from the owner of those concerns. And he had made it possible for them to experience their own existence in the image rather than in themselves. And I tell you with scientific proof, I tell you that that's what has happened to many non-Caucasian people all over the world where that image has been established, where that image has been accepted of a white man, of a European-looking man, of a European-Jewish-looking man on a cross. They have been successful through, who am I talking about? I'm talking about people who saw this utility in the crucifix. People who didn't mean well. People who wanted to capture the productive forces of other people for their own selfish purposes. People who wanted to empty out the concern for the individual's life and attach it to an image so that they could drive those individuals to inhuman extremes, to inhuman conditions, suppress them with inhuman circumstances, inhuman burdens, and they would find it possible to survive and be happy all the time, every day, because their reality was no longer in themselves, their reality was in the image. Now, let me see if I explain this in a different way. You know, you can experience a thing factually, and you can experience a thing through the medium of fantasy. You can experience a thing factually, and you can experience a thing vicariously. By vicariously, we mean that you have become so absorbed in the thing that you are beholding that you experience now what that thing is experiencing. So I can be enjoying music, and you can become so absorbed in watching me enjoy music that you become me. And now you're enjoying music, just as I'm enjoying music. And you're enjoying the music through me. And your situation is not my situation. They have your feet shackled. They have your mouth muzzled. But you see me, and you ain't doing the same thing I'm doing, with your hands shackled, your feet shackled, your mouth muzzled, but you ain't doing the same thing I'm doing. In your soul, inside, you are bouncing the feet. You're doing everything I'm doing. You're doing everything I'm doing. But you're not doing it factually, you're doing it vicariously. Now, let us go on to explain what we're talking about. So in psychology, this is called transference, where the person's own reality has been transferred to something else. Now, suffering people will identify with a suffering image, or with an image that represents the sufferer. It's easy to get the suffering to identify with an image that represents the sufferer. So no matter what color he is, no matter what ethnic image he has, if you see suffering, the human being is more a spiritual creature than he is a physical creature. So if they can show you that spiritually you are the same, he is a spiritual sufferer. You are a spiritual sufferer. His free spirit is a self. Yours too. He has been wronged in the world. You too. He has been denied the freedom of movement. His hands are nailed. Yours too. He has been denied the freedom of progress. His feet are nailed. Yours too.
Break it down,
brother. He has had his heart of injury. His heart is bleeding, but he can't do anything about it. Yours too. If they can make a picture that identifies very closely with your own reality, then it's easy to transfer your reality to that image. And then you can stay in the shit house. You can stay in the dungeon. You can stay in ignorance. And you can find satisfaction through the image. Now, excuse my language. Occasionally, I will say, that they got deep. Excuse my language. Now, if we have been able to come that far and see what we are talking about and understand what we are talking about, I say we are on the way to removing these images. Because once any intelligent minded, free-thinking person sees this reality, he has to commit himself for life to get rid of that image. We're still on the second reason. The second reason is a psychological reason. The second reason is this thing that it does to our psychology that robs us of attachment with our own reality. Now, if I'm correct, then won't this explain the lack of motivation in the black man, the lack of community aggressiveness on the part of the black community? Won't this explain the lack of stability on the part of the black community? And won't this also explain the division and the lack of unity on the part of the black community? And not only on the part of the black community, but on the part of the Hispanic community, and on the part of every other community that hasn't been able to identify with the image in its ethnicity, in its physical reality. Now let's look at what the kind of method that comes from that image to the white man. To the white man, he sees the suffering too. And if he's suffering, he identifies with the suffering Jesus also. But he has something that you don't have. He knows that Jesus is also called law. And he knows that you ain't no law. And he knows that in the world situation that he lived in, the white man is false. And that white image on the cross is called law. So in his subconscious, or through his conscience, He is satisfied with that identity in a way that you can never be satisfied. You're satisfied with it because he was a good man, and he suffered too. But God redeemed him and took him up into heaven. So you find satisfaction in that place. But I too, because I now have become the image of the world. I too have hope. The Lord that redeemed the image will redeem me one day. And I too will have a place of glory and dignity in the afterworld. The Muslims challenge that idea because our Holy Book says, get with all the means you have at your fingertips, work for the afterlife, the afterworld. But don't forget your share in this world.
Right.
Stop. That's what our Holy Book says. That's what our Holy Book says. So it's not a Muslim. You know, if a Muslim knows his religion, he won't be able to accept the message of the cross. Because he can't wait for the hereafter to get his due respect, his due recognition, his due share in the possession and in the authority of this one. And that he knows that God has obligated him to earn his ticket into the next on the strength of what he has done in this one.
Right.
And if he hasn't demonstrated the capacity for ownership, the capacity for leadership, right, the capacity for sharing the control of material things on this earth, then he hasn't earned much as a ticket into the next world.
Right.
In our religion, mighty. Now, I'm not saying that in Christianity this idea doesn't exist, but for the majority of Christians, this idea doesn't exist.
Right.
There are only a very few Christians who also put that heavy emphasis on getting a decent share in this world, that's required too. But, we will come to that point later. The Constitution of these United States respects that as a sacred concern and a sacred need in man. And we'll come to that later. But we're still on the second point. Now, dear people, that Caucasian or white person, a person that sees a close and striking resemblance between them and the image on the cross, has an advantage that those who can't identify with it that way are lacking. Don't have. And again, I repeat that advantage is the identity with the Lord, the identity with the superior being, the identity with the judge, because Jesus will also sit in judgment. Is that right? So they have identity with the owner. Say, oh yes, God gave Jesus Christ everything. And the white man say, yes, we have got everything. and God gave Jesus Christ authority. And the white man say, yes, we have got authority.
Yes, sir.
And God made Jesus boss, or Jesus Lord. And the white man will say, yes, we are boss. But when you look at it, no such ideas can come in your mind, because your reality does not agree with that part of the image. So isn't this an injustice? If this image is going to be an image for all the people, if this is an image for all races, isn't that an injustice? So here and now we establish the second reason for the removal of that image. Now let us go on to the third one. The third reason that we will establish today for the removal of that image is the conflict that image holds for the life of the American people. And I'm talking about the national life, the political life of the American people. And that life is understood, are interpreted, by the Constitution of these United States. The Constitution of these United States established that man has one nature, and that all men have same potential for growth, and that all men are entitled to ownership, freedom, or the ownership of material possessions, political freedom, the right to aspire to the highest office of the United States, along with every other man or every other citizen. This is the concept in the Constitution of the United States, of man. The Constitution of the United States recognizes the sacred dignity of the human person. It does not give priority to ethnicity over what is essentially a human being.
Yes, sir.
And as a consequence of that particular recognition being in the Constitution of the United States and in the life of the American people, we have found that the movement of freedom and justice have traveled down ethnic concerns to establish